The following program has been brought to you by Cain Vineyard and Winery. Cain Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.cain5.com.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
All right, welcome to Snacky Tunes. I am one half your host, Tay Diabolik. Joining me later in the show is the illustrious DJ Never Forget, who's running one last errand, picking up 16 pigtails for our dinner this Wednesday. Tom, I tried to get 16 pigtails through the meat hook.
Yeah, unfortunately, we only get like 4 pigs a week.
Yeah. So
there's only 4 tails.
And I thought
some
it was,
of them aren't quite, like, some of them are short, some of them are long.
No, I think these are going to be healthy sized.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that when you only got like a pig a week, and sometimes it's half a pig, and sometimes it doesn't have the tail, so.
Well, no, we get 4 to 5 pigs a week, but it's like, you know, and each, you know, one of the sides has a tail, but. Yeah, it's mostly that they just get, like, lost or they get stuck in somebody's bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pigtails are really prone to pranks.
Yeah. Well, Tom is here along with Joyce Miller and Philip Christian Clark.
Jocelyn.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
Jocelyn. Philip Christian Clark of Van Dag. Did I get that?
Yep, Von Dag.
Von Dag. And they're here today to talk about the awesome, awesome events coming this Saturday at the MoMA, the best of the worst. Welcome to Snacky Tunes, all three of you.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
And also chomping on pizza in the back is the wonderful Bicep, who will be spinning some tunes and throwing down on some pies a little bit later.
Hello.
Yeah. Jocelyn, let's take a step back. Best of Worst is a pop rally event.
It is, yeah. So Pop Rally at MoMA is this great group of young junior staff members at the museum, and they kind of get together and program all kinds of events so that it can be collaborations with musicians, artists, filmmakers. We've done, most recently, we premiered Gil Scott-Heron's video that Chris Cunningham did for him. That was a really fun event.
The one with the guy from XX?
Yeah. And we worked with Cat Power, Sigur Rós. So it's like all kinds of multidisciplinary events. And we're really lucky because the museum supports us, but also Mr. Gary Spire and Catherine Farley. They're our board members at MoMA, and they have kind of underwritten this program. And the whole point of the program is to have young people at the museum creating programming for young people to bring them into the museum at MoMA. And offer low ticket prices, crucially. So that's the really cool thing about this. You know, normally for events like this that we're talking today, tasting events, you know, you have these astronomically high prices. And this is a pretty cheap one, I think. I think it's a good value. So.
What's the value?
It's a $22 value.
That's not bad.
And we've got a bunch of dishes. We've got a bunch of chefs participating. It's Tom from the Meat Hook. It's Philip from
Not
Ben
really
Doug.
A chef, but whatever.
I think a chef. The dish is pretty intense.
The slinging of meat and whatnot.
Exactly. Lots of meat. We're having a sausage party. And then, I know, it's endless.
Aren't these chefs' events always sausage parties?
It is a sausage party. But we have some ladies. The other guys we've got involved are the Franks.
Love the Franks.
And then Gabrielle Critter from The Modern, so that's a little bit fancier.
That's fancy.
Yeah, it's fancy. We've got 2 Manhattan, 2 New York, and then Lynn Bound and Christine Nastasi. They're from Cafe 2 at MoMA, and they're the ladies that are going to be doing some other stuff. Dessert.
So how many chefs in total?
So in total, we've got, let's see, 4 restaurants participating. And Cafe 2 is a restaurant, too, but it's the museum's restaurant. So 5 total.
That's great. Yeah. And you get 10 drinks, right, as well?
10 drinks, yeah. Brooklyn Brewery is doing tailored beverage pairings as well as Sous de France wine. So it's going to be a pretty intense evening of imbibing.
So 5 tasting tables, 10 drinks, $22. Can you go to the museum? Can you walk around?
Yeah, and the best part about the whole point of this kind of event is it's on the occasion of this wonderful architecture and design exhibition we have. It's called Counter Space Design in the Modern Kitchen, and it's this incredible show that's based about kitchen design, and it's centered around this iconic Frankfurt kitchen that we acquired.
It's been up for the moment for a while, though, right?
It's been up for a while, and it's actually about to close, so this is kind of a last chance to go see it, and we thought nothing better to fete its end than a sausage fest.
I've been to the exhibit.
Have you? Yeah. What'd you think?
It was great.
What was your favorite part?
The kitchen.
There's 2 kitchens. There's an Italian one, too.
The first one. The first kitchen.
The German kitchen.
German kitchen.
It's a rad kitchen, especially because it's the earliest piece of architecture in our collection that was designed by a female architect. And her name's Margareta Schutte-Lehotsky. And she was actually the first architect that was a female at all in Austria in the 1920s. So it's like a pretty awesome piece. And a lot of lady power.
A
lot of lady power.
So what do you guys think about the Frankfurt kitchen? Do you still see some of its uses, design?
I think it's much more useful than most kitchens I see in homes these days. I would kill to have that in my apartment.
Yeah, certainly a lot better looking than my kitchen.
It was done to save on space and economics and things like that. So
it was just so well organized, and it made sense. And
what happened? The 80s?
I don't know. I feel like just cheap materials happened and cheap labor and architecture. I don't know.
Although it's funny because this kind of initiative was part of Bauhaus Germany, and it was about having cheap solutions and cheap housing blocks. So it's funny that this kitchen, which is this kind of micro-efficient laboratory, which was very cheap and intended to be, was able to be so elegant. You know, it's too bad that that's not the case today.
No, I think just basic materials weren't as cheap back then. I think there was still some quality. Now it's like, oh, it's, you know, compressed wood, and then you have a thin veneer of marble-looking plastic that counts as space. What did you...
They can't even swing Formica anymore.
No. Oh, absolutely not. What did you... what do you see from the Frankfurt kitchen that's a carryover today, and if maybe not the at-home kitchen, but in professional kitchen that they sort of hit right out of the park when they designed it?
There was a... there were bins for dry goods that were almost like apothecary-style, like drawers. And it reminds me a lot of like when we have a well-organized spice cabinet or spice shelving area in our kitchens. Just the counter space, the way it was organized, being able to work. And I look at things as always functioning and organizing yourself from left to right, because I'm right-handed, and how I would set up a counter in the space. And in current kitchens, like I can't set up a dish board and dry my plates and leave myself 1 inch to be able to chop anything on. And kind of the surface area lent itself well to working.
Yeah. Tom, thoughts?
Well, I mean, compared to my kitchen, like, you know, my kitchen is like, you know, just came with the weird loft apartment that I have, and there's all this wasted space like in the corners and all, you know, all over the place. It's just like 4 inches here that, like, why wouldn't these 4 inches be shifted over here so you could actually put down a cutting board, that kind of thing. It is so efficient and welded, and I mean that's really what's lacking in, you know, kitchens today, is like there's just no design. It's just like people put things where, you know, based on like where the plumbing is coming in at and that sort of thing, and they don't actually like think about like, oh, how could we do something in a small space that would actually be efficient and organized and, you know, good, and instead of just sort of throwing it together based on like what is the easiest thing to do. It just takes a little bit of thought, and it's one of those things that always bums me out when I, like, you know, sort of see something like that sort of travel back in time and be like, oh, people used to think about stuff. Oh, that's really sad that we
because that argument today is like, oh, it's so small, like my area is so small. After I saw the kitchen, I was like, well, that's, you took 2 minutes just to think about, you know, instead of just like carving up these apartments willy-nilly, you could actually have like a decent kitchen and a decent place to eat and cook and things like that. I think you'd see more cooking at home if people had the Frankfurt kitchen.
Yeah, or just anything that had some sort of thought behind it. I mean, there's a really great book that or a series of books that I'm reading right now by I think he's actually Austrian, by way of sort of like hippy-dippy Berkeley, California, circa the late 60s, Christopher Alexander. And he has two books that are, one's called Pattern Language, and the other one's A Timeless Way of Building. And they are basically talking about like how to think about space and organize it in a way that, instead of like making the space dead, you know, making it alive and making it a place where like life happens, instead of, you know, like this, and the space being part of your life instead of this like stupid fucking thing that you have to work around. And it's like, why is this like disorganized?
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because actually when she designed the kitchen, she did all these studies of interviewing housewives and women in these kind of, I guess they'd be like groups, you know, that you do today for advertising, but like focus research groups. And she got a lot of people to just walk around the space that she was designing. And there are these little footprint charts, and they're kind of, they look almost like dance steps from like the 50s, like those cheesy ones, you know? And it really shows how she mapped out literally, okay, I go to the kitchen, then I walk over to the cabinet to get the dish, and then I walk over to the stove, and it's like all these little foot patterns showing just, and she did this kind of scientific method approach to it after tracing multiple women using the space, finding
so
out
you can like the reduce paths. The amount of steps.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's all about efficiency. I mean, for her, the kitchen was a laboratory.
Awesome. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, talk about the meat hook, Von Dog, a little bit more about the event and the food that you guys are cooking for it. I'm Terry Diabolic, one half of Finger on the Pulse. The next track is Sucker's Roman Candle, which was live on Snacky Tunes. Our first official compilation, Snacky Tunes Live, comes out tomorrow. And this is the Sucker's Roman Candle.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Thank you.
it's such a jam. Big fan of that one. Guys, you like that song?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Great. Yeah, we're real excited. We have a bunch of other bands on there. Blood Orange is coming out, is going to be on that. And he actually, that track is going to be a record label exclusive. So we're very excited. Music, food, one of our favorite juxtapositions. And now we have this juxtaposition of food and art. What did you guys use to inspire yourselves to make the dishes for this event? Tom?
The whole best of the worst theme, we took it very loosely, and because we are kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum from Austrian design, we're kind of like a ugly American circa 1955 kind of place. We kind of took that to its logical conclusion, which is the dish that we're serving, which is called the Long Dong Bud, which is named after one of my business partners. It was named by Brent's dad, Brent Young, my business partner, one of my business partners, by his father, Bud, after himself. We made the sausage. Brent was really happy about it. He called his dad up and he was like, I really like this thing. What should I call it? And he's like, is it big? He's like, yeah, it's pretty big. He's like, oh, call it the Long Dong Bud. So anyway, that's the name of it. But it's actually a really good sausage. It's an all pork sausage that we make from our 100% Berkshire pigs that we get from Craryville, New York. A nice man named Bruce raises them for us. It's pork, roasted jalapenos, pepper jack cheese, and Texas Pete hot sauce, one of our favorite hot sauces. So it's really spicy and kind of self-lubricating because it has the cheese in there, and then we're going to serve that with a little bit of roasted jalapeno mayonnaise on a Martin's roll. So we're keeping it real trash. We're going to be the lowbrow here.
You're the basement sale at the MoMA.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And Phil, what can we expect from your end?
So we have a snack on our menu since we opened of pickled smoked sausages. And I've been working on the idea of doing a Von Dog for a while. And something that in the near future we're hoping to start serving at PDT with Jim Meehan. And what we're doing for this is using our pickled smoked sausages. And we're going to griddle them first and serve them on a mustard seed brioche roll served with our mustard relish. A little bit of raw mustard greens and some red sauerkraut with a lot of coriander in it that we make in-house. It's going to be kind of fun.
Now, for people who aren't familiar with Von Dog, can you tell me about the restaurant and your approach to the food there?
Most certainly. It's dubbed as Northern European influenced. It's a New York City restaurant through and through. We take that as a way of expressing a flavor profile as well as just a clean austerity to both the food and the aesthetic of everything there. Our menu is very streamlined, absolute minimal wording. We don't like adjectives very much. Just want to list you the ingredients, and it can create a dialogue between the server and the customer, or it can just be something of a surprise when it comes because a lot of our food is a little bit abstract. As to our product, we source heavily from the area, going to the local green markets, using small producers and purveyors, the sausage being a key example. We didn't feel when we opened that we had the production capability to be making our own sausage, so we outsourced it. We have a small Ukrainian butcher shop right up the street that makes unbelievable kielbasa, and I came up to him and I was like, hey, there's this traditional Dutch sausage called rookworst, very similar to kielbasa, a lot more fat in it, a little bit finer of a grind, and smoked. Can you try doing this for me? And after a few batches, they hit it right on and make us like 50 pounds a week, and we pickle them.
Wow. That's great. And Tom, you are...
What do you pickle them in?
Yeah.
That one's an apple cider vinegar, garlic, bay leaf, fennel seed, and water and sugar and salt mix.
Wow, that sounds really good.
Yeah, I saw your eyes and your brows really light up. I mean, for those, Tom over at the Meat Hook, and you guys are always... working and playing around with different sausages and cuts of meats.
Yeah, I mean, we as far as sausages go, they're kind of like our obsession. We really like to push the envelope as much as possible with them. I think at this point we probably have 45 or 50 like actual viable, really significantly different, interesting sausages. Probably 50% of those are our take on something very like a very traditional sausage, whether it's a very traditional smoked sausage from Texas or with jalapenos and stuff like that, Ed, or a really traditional Frankfurt or something in between, like the New York style hot dog. That's kind of like one of our obsessions. But I mean, obviously, our focus is on taking the whole local, sustainable, whole animal butcher shop idea and sort of de-boutiquing it and making it like fun and trashy and for the whole family and for everyone. The three of us, Ben, Brent, and myself, my three partners, have been butchering for quite a while, and I think once we finally got our own shop, we just decided to just go bananas and instead of going like highbrow and very refined, we just decided to
shit the bed. Sausage king.
I wish we could claim that. I'm gonna wait. I think that
wait.
I think that we're not there yet. This time next year, who knows? We had big plans.
So as we were talking before the show started about the Eau de Picassion cookbook, the Nova cookbook. Cookbooks and food are really moving into what could be considered art form. Do you think there's going to be more of a collaboration of museums and food? I know that, and it's slipping.
I sure hope so.
At the end of this month, there's that fundraiser at Del Posto to open up the food museum.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see? I mean, for something that's an art form that's created to be essentially destroyed within minutes being viewed by the customer, like how do you find the best way to preserve it, or what's the best way in working with something as stable as a museum?
Sanskrit. Just related to that. It's there and it's gone. It's beautiful.
There and it's gone. But I mean, that's they create these, Alinea or anything like that. It's a work of art, and then it's intended to be decimated.
Yeah. And at the same time, at the end of the day, you're trying to nourish someone and make them happy. And I would expect that going to a museum, you can equate it to that as well. Someone gets a fulfillment and a sense of culture from viewing art, and it might not be sustaining their body, but it's sustaining their mind. And so that's how they walk hand in hand.
Yeah.
I mean, for us, I think we take something else from the artistic element of it, and we're not necessarily trying to make something that is visually arresting. We are trying to take from it the raw creativity of creating, art and music and, I don't know, dance. Dance, I just said that. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
Little sausage dance?
Yeah, a little sausage dance. But, and we're trying to take that raw creativity, the act of working, even if, anytime that you create something, it's a process, and, you might try three or four times, just because you're not really thinking about it, you're just going for it. But eventually you'll end up with something that's really good. And that's kind of like what we take from, art. And, what's really nice about being a butcher shop, in a place that is so, I'm not going to say artistically, but creatively active.
Forward thinking.
Yeah. Just a very creative place, everyone from, restaurateurs and, food producers to the people that consume them, everyone, kind of operates in the same circles, which are, bands and art galleries and it's very creative, it's very vibrant, and we just take that raw power and just try to go for it and just, not second guess ourselves and kind of go crazy, so.
Well, and also, so much art is not even object based. Some of it's performance. Some of it's,
right.
Food has been used in art for years.
Yeah, we're definitely more performance art. I actually have a if you can have a degree in performance art, I actually do. I actually did a piece where people threw sliced lunch meat at me at one point. So it's
And then you took that meat and made into sausage.
No, this was a long time ago. I was more of a cheese guy back then. Yeah. No, we kind of taken that sort of, the humor and the creativity and sort of fused it together and made it, sort of fun.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to be hanging out while we DJ and eat your food on Saturday night.
Great.
Philip, Jocelyn, Tom, thank you so much. Let's do a quick nuts and bolts. If I want to go to Von Dog, where can I go for a website and actual physical location?
It's www.vondognyc.com, and the physical location is at the corner of 6th Street and 2nd Avenue in Manhattan.
And that's two A's at the end.
Yeah, it's V-A-N-D-A-A-G.
Awesome. And Tom, Meat Hook?
Yeah, it's the-meathook, not an underscore, .com. And we're located... Our address is deceptive. It says 100 Frost Street.
It's but so deceptive.
We're not on Frost Street. We're on... Our entrance is on Meeker between Leonard and Frost. That's right around the BQE, just a few short steps from the L&G Metropolitan / Lorimer stuff.
Yeah, I've definitely spent the first couple times there on my phone being like, I know I'm right here. I just don't know where it is.
Yeah. That happens a lot, so...
And Jocelyn, tickets still available?
Tickets are still available. They're almost sold out, so if you want them, I would say in the next day or so, otherwise they're going
to
be gone.
And where can we go to get tickets?
You can go to www.moma.org/poprally.
And what time does it start?
It starts at 8, and it goes till 10:30, or maybe a little bit later.
Yeah, we'll
that's between us, though.
Hey, if people are dancing, we'll keep DJing.
Great.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. We got Bicep coming up in the second half of the show, and right now we have three cuts from our live comp coming out. You can go to FOTPNYC.com tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., get the full comp, and here we go.
Thank you so much.
And I'll just keep on stumbling. Right now it feels too humbling to tell you what I want. And the city's feeling queer and crass, with beer cans growing blades of grass to look like something new. Whoa, oh, oh, oh. Whoa, oh, oh, oh. Oh, 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 oh. That you love me, but I'm just too damn hungry for loving that I don't need. And I know that you like my shoes, but you wish you could count for every inch and every ounce of everything that you meet. And you'll die by the time you're 30. Slytherin snakes and garden rakes don't got what it takes to give you what you need. Nice guy, act like the nice guy. If you want this, I want it more. If you want this, I want it more. If you want this, I want it more than you. I want it more than you. It's fine to say this isn't a game when you've already lost it. It's pointless to go through it again, but perhaps you've forgotten. You gotta know there's nothing to gain, so why even bother? If you're the nice guy, act like the nice guy. If you're the nice guy, act like the nice guy. Hey, if you want this, I want it more. Hey, if you want this, I want it more. Hey, if you want this, I want it more than you. I want it more than you. This isn't a trick, so stop overthinking everything. Just finish your drink and stop overthinking everything now. If you're the nice guy, act like the nice guy. If you're the nice guy, act like the nice guy. If you're the nice guy, act like the nice guy. If you're the nice guy, act like the nice guy. If you want this, I want it more. If you want this, I want it more. If you want this, I want it more than you. I want it more than you. I want it more than you. I want it more than you.
I feel unique, not yet complete. Your freezing eyes fall on me. Pour me, pour you, pour us. What's wrong with a little touch? I'm just a boy, so lonely. I am not your savior. I am not your savior, baby girl. I am not your savior. I am not your savior. One, two, three, four, grieve. You mean you're incomplete. In your freezing thighs, warm me. Pour me, pour you, pour us. What's wrong with a little touch? I'm just a boy, I'm so lonely. I am not your savior. I am not your savior, baby girl. I am not your savior. I am not your savior. Baby
go. I am not your savior. Oh no.
The following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Every Sunday at 4:30 p.m., tune in to Burning Down the House. Architecture is the laser focus of Burning Down the House, a weekly discourse on all things built, destroyed, admired, and despised. Each week, Curtis B. Wayne, your host, invites a posse of authors, critics, builders, designers, and other architecture fiends to reflect on various topics related to perhaps the most functional of all art forms. Again, that's every Sunday at 4:30 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network.
Love that track. Blood Orange, forget it. If you want it now and you can't wait till tomorrow, go to Record Label. That's Record Label with no vowels .com, and it's available for download. It's a preview of the Snacky Tunes live comp coming out tomorrow. I'm excited.
I'm excited too. I'm happy to join you in the studio as well. Thanks for covering early.
The pigtails look fantastic.
Oh yeah, I'm
no you were out getting them for me.
My pleasure.
Yes.
I'm kind of curious to see like what you can make out of pigtails.
I have Fergus Henderson.
No, I know that you have a recipe, but I mean, you know, I always think that like.
Oh, I'm sorry. The answer is deliciousness.
Oh, okay. The answer is delicious.
I'm sorry. What is delicious?
What is delicious? So welcome to the second part of the show. I'm one half your host, DJ Never Forget.
I'm the other half, Terry Diabolik.
We're finger on the pulse. And
can we acknowledge that it's been a day?
I mean, it's like 2:35, and we're still going. Like I'm nervous. Here's the thing. It's been such a day that I'm nervous to turn my phone back on when I leave here and see what's waiting for me. But mom texted me and it said she had her mother's precog. Is everything all right? And the answer is kinda. Anyway, so enough about this. In studio today we have Andy from Feel My Bicep, aka Bicep.
Are we supposed to?
We have no. Is it a state of being or just a suggestion?
Do people at clubs?
Yeah, sometimes people just come up and start feeling them. I think that's the. but yeah.
Can I re-ask that question? Anybody worth it? Who's come up?
No. Essentially not.
Andy, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. You know, you need to have that like instead of like the no request sticker on your laptop. You'd have a no touching of the bicep.
Yeah, we're thinking about getting tattoos on either sides and feel in our bicep.
So for our listeners who are unaware of what you do and the fact that there is another one of you, why don't you give them the quick rundown of what it is you're all about?
Well, basically, Feel My Bicep is a blog that I created with my friends to share the music that we like between each other. Essentially, it wasn't made to go public, but it ended up just getting really popular. Not through promotion, just through people finding it themselves, and from that there we just kind of put our own DJ and stamp on it and try to do our own style rather than emulate other blogs out there just literally thinking from scratch and just doing our own thing.
You know, it's interesting, we were having the conversation about, you know, where the relevance of blogs are these days, and I think your blog is where blogs are going, where it's not you're going to be able to go to the Disco Dust or the Disco Bells of the world and get like rare tracks. It's like you kind of have to search in like an empty space. I don't even know how else to say it, to find something, and then you kind of, that's how you begin to find the new blogs.
Yeah, essentially. Well, what we do, we try and do is we've been collecting vinyl since we were all about 13, 14. So that's like a good 10, 12 years each. And everyone who writes the blog comes from different music backgrounds, like some like punk, some new wave, funk, techno, house, everything. So we've got lots of rare tracks between us from collecting the vinyl over the years that the majority of people who would be on our blog have never heard before, and then we try and share it with them.
Which is really how it should be. It's not about like posting. You're not even concerned about the first one to post it up.
Yeah.
Because people have had 3 decades
exactly
to get it up.
It kind of works that way for us as well. And the way the kind of file share market and stuff is, we don't try and provide people with free tracks that they can go out and DJ with. We kind of just give them suggestions, and hopefully from that it'll encourage them to buy vinyl and sort of see what vinyl actually brings to it rather than just the MP3 side of the blog.
No, and it's great. So you have the blog, but then you've now transitioned into original production.
Yeah, we've been producing for a while, but the Bicep thing was a concept at first. It kind of like it was to do with like the club scene in London at the time, and artists that we liked as well, and the kind of vibe that they were giving off. It was more Italo disco, bit of disco, and a, like, you know, that kind of tongue in cheek attitude rather right. than trying to too many people try and take themselves too seriously.
Yes,
and we
that is a fact. Yeah. That is a fact.
So we are happy enough that like we post we do remixes of Lady Gaga tracks, but we'll also do like dark techno tracks,
right?
Like real serious stuff, and we know our equipment, and we like to just be fun with it and not try and take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah, sometimes people forgot that DJing's supposed to be fun.
Yeah, definitely. Or and remixes. People are trying, they try and portray their image through with DJing, and they'll never play like an uncool track, or people are always worried about how they're perceived by other people. But we've grew up with DJs like Optimo, and yeah, and listening to Beats in Space and things like that, and anything goes as long as it's good music, really.
Right, which is awesome. Which is when, you know, we are not the most proficient DJs, but I think that the fact that we stood up there and just did it, we're like 9/10 of the battle.
Yeah.
And when I try to tell people like to DJ, and they're like, "Oh, I don't know how to beat match," I was like, that doesn't matter if your tunes aren't good or you don't like the music that you're playing.
I think as a DJ myself, I started off thinking beat matching was the be all and end all
right.
of being a DJ, but then after you DJ techno for like four or five years, just techno and house, you realize that it's like the least part about it, the whole thing. It's right. all about selection and just creating a vibe, really, rather than even that's what essentially what we try and do on our blog. Rather than try and be the best selectors, we just want to create like our own kind of personal vibe about it.
I mean, that's how you do it. You build your own world, and then people want to come and be a part of it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The best DJs can do that. They can make you feel like you're in a different place, or just they can create this atmosphere which nobody else can actually really get. Like if you go to a DJ who just plays straight up one genre of music, it's really hard to get, you know, change things up and create something different.
That's awesome. And so how did you happen to meet James Friedman? For people who don't know, because as I just dropped that, James, who was on the show before, played some of your music, and that's how we heard about you, and you know, was excited to book you.
Yeah.
And James runs Throne of Blood Records.
Yeah, well, the Throne of Blood, they released something 4 or 5 years ago, a zombie record. Yeah, and we posted that in the blog, and we also posted another one of their new tracks probably before it was meant to be posted, essentially. And then I think James made a comment in one of the posts, and then we just kind of got in contact through that, because usually once a record label comments after we've posted it, it's usually to say something like you should take it down. But he was kind of encouraging off the whole, because he knew what we were doing. We weren't giving away free download, we were giving a stream,
right?
So nobody could essentially steal it, copy it, and yeah, we tried to protect it in that sense. But he messaged us through that, and then through that there we've released a few records with him.
That's awesome. So why don't we get you on the decks?
Yeah, let's get you a play couple tunes.
So what do you have lined up for us?
I've got everything from a bit of punk stuff to some funk, even some jazz. I'll start off with something a bit crossover, and then just kind of go from there. I don't really know what I'm going to go.
All right, awesome. So we have Bicep.
Okay.
What was it? Is it, if you're under DJing, a Bicep, or is it Feel My Bicep DJing?
Feel My Bicep is when we DJ with our friend Rory, and that's like a collective thing. It's Feel My Bicep's the party, and the DJ's me and Matt are Bicep.
So one half of the Bicep, it's a
Bicep.
Bicep-y?
Left arm.
Yeah, no, I don't. Biceps is the plural.
That is questionable. So you're listening to Snacky Tunes.
How? What?
Huh?
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 Some people say a pickle tastes better cucumber.
What?
Huh?
For those of you listening for our podcast, you can go back and listening to James Friedman podcast, which is, you just go to iTunes and Google Snacky Tunes. And for those of you, did you give them the download link while I was out?
FOTPNYC.com.
Right. Or you could go to just very easily bit.ly.
That is.
That's not. All right.
No.
FOTPNYC.com.
Oh, yeah. Just go to bit.br.
That's for the.
Hey, is there a number in there somewhere? The answer is
and
yes.
And there's like caps and everything. Sorry.
Oh,
anyway.
God. Anyway, thank you to Jack Inslee, Patrick. Here we go.
don't want nobody else to ever love me. You are my shining star, my guiding light, my love fantasy. There's not a minute, hour, day or night that I don't love you. You're at the top of my list, cause I'm always thinking of you. I still remember in the days when I was scared to touch you, how I spent my day dreaming, planning how to say I love you. You must have known that I had feelings deep enough to swim in. That's when you opened up your heart and you told me to come in. Oh my love, a thousand kisses from you is never too much. I just don't wanna stop. Oh my love, a million days in your arms is never too much. I just don't wanna stop.
Too much, never too much, never too much, never too much. Just to get me started, I called you up but you weren't there, and I was broken hearted. Hung up the phone, can't be too late, the boss is so demanding. Opened the door up and to my surprise there you were standing. Well, who needs to go to work to hustle for another dollar? I'd rather be with you cause you make my heart scream and holler. Love is a gamble and I'm so glad that I am winning. We've come a long way and yet this is only the beginning. Oh my love, a thousand kisses from you is never too much.
Too much, never too much, never too much.
mid-conversation. You're listening to Snacky Tunes.
Barn Burner.
Yeah, what was that track?
That was The Who. Eminence From.
I was watching Quadrophenia last night as I went to bed. You ever seen that movie?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, man. It's awesome. Mods, rockers.
Sounds right up my street.
Anyway, listening to Snacky Tunes.
All
right,
fine.
We have Andy from Feel My Bicep playing in a nice 15-minute mid-Monday set.
Trying to cram them in 15 minutes.
Who are? Give us a handful of who you played there.
Elijah Rubman. So, I can't remember what the track's called, but I played Floating Points, Love Me Like This. Luther Vandross.
I love that Luther Vandross song. Yeah.
We like grew up like that was like one of my mom had like a handful of cassettes in her car like Luther Vandross.
Dad, no, dad's.
Oh, dad, yeah, and mom was Billy Ocean.
Yeah, and also I played a Larry Levan edit as well of Sky.
So we want to thank you for coming to the show. Yeah. You've played a number of gigs here. Do you have any plans on coming back to the States?
Yeah, I'd love to stay here for a longer period. I want to come back in the summer because everyone keeps telling me New York's so different.
Oh, yeah,
summer.
New York summer.
Oh, my God. It's awesome.
Is that not the same from where you're from? Is summer not the bee's knees?
Yeah, it's
the cat's
same.
Pajamas?
Exactly. Yeah. But it's really, I've been working the last past 3 summers in like a full-time job, so haven't really been able to enjoy it like I really want to. I just want to sit. I've got a house now in the canal, so I literally just want to sit out and make music during the night and then just sleep in the day outside in the sun.
That sounds about right.
But it's London, so that's very unlikely. It's gonna
happen. If you need two people to help you do that, we are more than happy.
No,
to come.
But you should definitely come back. And it's just, you know, this is like one of the more brutal winters I've seen in the time we've been here. And it like messes with you. You get a little bit of nice weather, and then it just slaps you around for like 4 or 5 days. So
yeah.
And that rain yesterday was. I mean, like Saturday was great.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Yesterday was just. One of the worst rainstorms I've seen
that
ever.
Yeah, but I couldn't even go outside. It was like.
I mean, it was 12. I mean, it was from when I got up to when I went to bed.
Yeah.
Rain.
But the thing is, well, a day will start like today, beautiful sunshine, nice and warm, and then you'll go out for a few drinks, and then by the time you leave, like, the place,
turn
it'll
on
just
you.
Be like.
Yeah, it'll turn on you. Well, why don't you. Well, let's get all the imperative
the nuts
information.
And bolts, if you
the
will,
nuts and bolts,
list?
Twitter, website, all that stuff.
Friendster?
Yeah. Friendster.
Friendster.
Yeah. That guy from Friendster must be raging.
Yeah. It was me! I did it!
Yeah.
So how can we find you in the World Wide Web?
We try and keep it pretty succinct. And everything's like SoundCloud/ Feel My Bicep, Twitter/ Feel My Bicep, FeelMyBicep.com, Facebook.com/ Feel My Bicep.
Kids, it's a lesson in branding.
And
just be repetitive.
Yeah,
I'm surprised that Feel My Bicep wasn't taken.
Yeah, we've had it for a good few years.
Oh, you have? Yeah. Oh, okay.
And yeah, people, we've had like lots of things, people taking our logo and calling it their own.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we've had lots of, you wouldn't believe half the stuff, gyms calling us, telling us that we're stealing their identity. Big record, major record label saying that we're messing up the releases or we're stealing their ideas. Things like that.
wait, how are you stealing their ideas?
Well, just people using there's lots of guys who are trying to take that Arnold Schwarzenegger pumping iron type, you know, graphics and style and turn it into their like macho disco. And I think that's become like a little bit of a trend now.
My God.
Yeah.
So. Messing with the majors.
Yeah, exactly.
What are majors? Do they still...
They have enough money to write cease and desist
they're
to 23-year-old kids.
Yeah, they're the guys who pay for the adverts on Spotify. Oh, you don't have Spotify in the country?
We are getting it, though.
Yeah, that was really strange today. I was trying to listen to something and I didn't
What's
know.
This?
It's a new music listening service. We'll talk about it.
Okay,
It was in the Times last week, too. Anyway, so you're going to play one track for us to get us out of here.
Yeah.
What are you going to play?
It was really hard to decide, actually. I'll play... 11 Pond Watching Trees.
Awesome.
Obsidian Pond. Yeah.
So we'll let you know. Thanks for being on the show.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's good.
Yeah, how's the pizza?
Yeah, it was really good. It's just gonna mention
thanks for Bertus.
Yeah,
always a pleasure.
Yeah, definitely.
And to all the listeners who've had to deal with my cough all show, I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
little that winter cold, I thought I got out of the winter and it caught me right at the end.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry if you had to hear me cough, but consider it you know,
live blog.
We'll let you load up the track and we'll do our sign off here.
I was doing that.
I know, but you gotta. Not everyone gets your direction like I do.
So if you didn't understand what is going on, Snacky Tunes live first comp coming out tomorrow.
Volume one,
and then we just
made. And all you got to do is go to fotpnyc.com. Got the track listing and the download link.
And it's got the wallpaper Snacky Tunes theme in 320.
In 320.
And thank you to Jocelyn, Tom, and Philip. We'll see you at the MoMA this weekend. Just go to MoMA.org for tickets.
Oh, I guess I'll be joining you for the entire evening now.
Hey-o!
Hey-o!
and it's going to be great. Frankfurt Kitchen, 5 stations of food, 10 drinks minimum. No joke. A complimentary beer and wine with every tasting.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
I missed that. Well, not to be missed. All right.
Hey,
and a big shout out to Shelley Wright who did all the PR for the comp. We love you and you're great.
You know what the MoMA says when you get paid a lot of money?
What?
MoMA name, Mo problems?
Bicep final track.
Time to kill.
Yeah.
About dreams of this feeling.